I'm Jake Goodman, and you're listening to Ravens Weekly.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Everyone, and welcome back to Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast, proudly sponsored by our friends at Crown Ash Developments. This is episode 22?
It's 22.
Yeah. As you would have heard by there, I am joined as ever by Matt Hall.
Hello, Jeff.
And David Cook.
He's not here.
He's somewhere. Is he running? He's training for the marathon, isn't he?
Yeah, or he's just clocked off.
Another late night run. Thank you very much for tuning in, downloading. Apologies for our slight delay over Christmas. It's taken a bit longer than usual to get back into the routine. However, we are here now. It's episode 22. Matt, what have we got coming up?
Well, a lot in answer to your question, Jeff. We're going to start off by discussing the Sutton game, which was live on TV, obviously, here at Hayes Lane, back on New Year's Day. And we're going to hear from Jake Goodman after that one. And we're also going to look at the wins against AFC Fylde and Wrexham. We're going to chat to George Porter. We're going to have a roundup of community news, and part of that is our brand new girls soccer school, and we're going to chat to coach Craig Black about that. We're then going to talk about the Kent Senior Cup and hear from a couple of people about that one. We're going to have some news from our youth academy, which is really exciting news. We're going to chat about the Bromley Bells again. That's community related. And we're going to look ahead to the Dover game as well,
of course, which is tomorrow.
If people download
us on Friday night, if you download it Saturday morning, it's obviously this afternoon.
Yeah.
And if you download it after, then it's whenever,
happened,
I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, fantastic. Good to be back. Thank you very much, Matt, for joining us as always. As you mentioned there, we're going to start with Sutton. Obviously, what a fantastic start to 2019 we've had so far. And like you say, it all started with the win at home to Sutton in front of the cameras. What was it? 7:45 kickoff.
It was, yeah.
New Year's Day. Everybody getting over whatever they got up to on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
You worry about the crowd. You worry about everything. Mm. Nevertheless, I think a fantastic crowd.
Mm, definitely.
Again, what a fantastic game for telly. In all honesty, I mean,
absolutely brilliant.
We're looking back on it, and we got the footage afterwards from BT and that. And there's something I always love, and we were fortunate enough to be on TV again this time the previous year with Ebbsfleet, and we beat them as well. What seeing Hayes Lane under the lights, live on telly, everything like that is one thing. That was last year. This time, under the lights and that south stand with the concrete there, yeah, and you can visualise where the seat's going to go on the roof.
Yeah.
And was absolutely amazing.
And every time you come in, you can see there's a difference, and it's really, really progressing nicely now. It's really great to see. And like you say, seeing it on TV was just a bit of a weird feeling, wasn't it, really? It's always very surreal,
especially when you hear and you walk through the bar or whatever and it's still on the TV and stuff at the same time. It is quite surreal. But obviously the game, Matt, talk us through it.
Yeah, so obviously we went 1-0 down courtesy of Kenny Davis strike, I think it's about 10 minutes in. We sort of got that feeling, maybe it's not going to be our night. Usually we seem to do quite well on TV, don't we? And then JJ Hooper with what I can only describe as a very lucky goal coming off his back. I think Mark Anthony from the corner headed it onto his back. He didn't know anything about it, and it's in the goal. He's onside, and it's his goal. And then after that, obviously, finally poised 1-0. We were absolutely outstanding.
I have to bite you in, though, just with a great header from Mark Anthony, but the balls in the box the first half were exceptional. The amount of times were just on the money.
Yeah.
It went out wide either side, and the balls coming in were just bang on it, and it was like, if this keeps on happening, it's going to take a chance to take the goal.
And that was no exception, Jeff. Obviously, that's what you get with the two Frankies, and it was a fantastic ball in. And Mark Anthony has become a real threat from corners and set pieces, even not in terms of heading the ball at goal, but heading it back across goal, and it's been really effective. And that was a fine example of it. I'm sure he didn't mean to head it into JJ's back, but it happened, and we scored. And what a player JJ, by the way. 8 goals in 8 appearances in all competitions for us now. What a signing.
Is that what it is?
Including the hat-trick, obviously, which we'll get onto later in the Kent Senior Cup. And then second half, I think we just blew them away, really. We were absolutely different class, and we didn't we didn't give them a shout, really. They had a couple of chances towards the end, but it looked like it was going to be one of those games that ended a point apiece. And we went into the 89th minute, and it was a funny one because we had the corner. And
usually, what's the story behind this? Because I've seen some footage from BT, and they cut to the dugout, and something's happening or something's not happening. And
it was like it was meant to be. Neil said to me, and I'm sure Mark Hammond, etc., will appreciate us saying this. Neil said to me, "Oh, Ammo told me not to bring him on," and I said that. I'll bring him on. And usually they say not to make changes at corners, don't they? But obviously Richard Brindley had a bit of a knock, so he had to come off, and the player to come on and replace him was Jake. And immediately as he came on the pitch, about 30 seconds later, I think it was, the corners come in, another brilliant corner from Frankie
Raymond. The corner was in place. It was ready to be taken.
It was, yeah.
He's come on as a sub. Watching it back is fantastic.
And the header was unbelievable. And there were scenes, I'm telling you. It was absolutely fantastic. And I think it was a deserved win. I think we fully deserved it that night.
No, it was fantastic. And you talk about Jake Goodman. You managed to catch up with him, I think, on a Monday afterwards, was it?
That's right,
yes.
Oh,
sorry, the first training session afterwards.
Yep.
Just to get his thoughts.
Jake Goodman, been quite a week, hasn't it? Obviously, yourself popping up live on TV with the winner with your first touch.
Yeah, strange one. I don't normally come on and make such a big impact like that, but, you know, obviously come on to do a job, and thankfully I got the luck winning goal, and we got the win.
Fantastic to be on TV as well, and obviously win so late on, it just makes it so much more of a spectacle, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's for good TV. It's a good TV. If someone scores late, it makes it interesting. So buzzing, we got the win.
And overall it was a great performance, wasn't it, from the team? Obviously even had credit from the opposition manager just as how well we played.
Yeah, I think, to be fair, we were excellent, and Sutton were really good. Sutton were really good. It was a real good game of football. Two good teams that obviously we should be doing better than what we are, but obviously results don't lie. Sutton are doing really well, so yeah, it was a real good spectacle. Obviously, yeah, me sitting on the bench, but you know, it was a good watch, and hopefully everyone enjoyed it.
And that's 4 wins from 5 now. Do you feel we can pick up and carry on this good form?
Yeah, I think we've now got a settled team. There's been a lot of players coming in from the start of the season. We lost a lot of goals, and then players going out from midway through the season. Now we're just starting to all understand each other's game. Now really we can hopefully push on.
It's about halfway, just over halfway through the season now. Obviously, your first season with us. How have you found it?
Yeah, excellent. It's been my first year back as a pro for some time now, and yeah, really enjoyed it. Obviously, from a selfish point of view, I want to play more, and you know, that's everyone. But you know, I'm going to, every time I play, I'm just going to give 100% for Bromley and to get as many points as we can.
Obviously, when you have played, you've played really, really well. Been a bit unfortunate with injuries, perhaps?
I got the injury after the Ebbsfleet game. And yeah, that was really unfortunate. I was really starting to find my stride. I seem to always get better with the more games I have. But obviously, yeah, it's a setback. And then obviously Boxing Day, there was a fitness test, and obviously Gaffer made the choice to put me on the bench, which is fine. And now Mark stepped in and he's done fantastic, so you can't moan. But the team's winning, that's really all that matters.
And obviously we host Wrexham on Tuesday the 8th in the evening kickoff. Played obviously against them earlier this season, and it was a great comeback, wasn't it? But a side that are really in good form and looking to get promoted.
Yeah, the size of the club, they should be up there. They're a really good side. They've started off like a house on fire. They're keeping it right up with Orient, but you know, we've got really good players, and we can cause trouble to any team, and we'll be looking to do exactly the same to them.
Jake, thank you.
Thank you.
Always good to hear from Jake there. Obviously, he refers to the AFC Fylde game. Obviously, before that, we had Wrexham. Obviously, I think that interview was for the Wrexham programme, was it, Matt?
It was, yeah. Indeed, yeah.
Obviously, Wrexham and Fylde, another 2 wins.
And another 2 good sides, let me add. Obviously, Sutton hunting for the playoffs, filed the same, and Wrexham actually third in the table at the time, and we put all three of them to the sword, and let me add, convincingly, we were absolutely outstanding in all three games. Let's start with Fylde, obviously, because that was the first one. Going 1-0 down once again early on, we seem to be recovering well from going 1-0 down, and we saw that earlier this season, actually, and I know the squads are much
definitely
changed now.
Points last season where you used to say, if we don't score the first goal, That's been a complete turnaround this year. We've got that. It seems like we've got that ability to be able to come back, you know, and like you said, whether it's the quality on the bench or starting, it's definitely seen a difference this year.
Oh, absolutely. And you look at, Wrexham away and Maidenhead away, they spring to mind, obviously, late comebacks in both of them when the odds were really against us, being 2-0 down in both games. And this was another example of it, obviously going 1-0 down and then going 2-1 up. Another bizarre goal for JJ coming off his thigh, I think, this time.
Take anything, wouldn't
he? He's just in the right place at the right time, JJ. And then I'm trying to remember who scored. I think he got the second as well. I'm trying to remember who scored that one.
Well, we're both looking at each other as if we both know, and I can't even remember.
And then obviously Fylde drawing level with us was frustrating. And obviously another major talking point of that game was the injury to Mason Bloomfield, which was not nice to see at all. And obviously it was a double break of the bones in his wrist, and obviously not going into detail, it was quite graphic. No, it wasn't. I've just remembered, actually, it was a Frankie Sutherland penalty, wasn't it?
Two goals in
4 minutes, and I'm remembering all this. And then, obviously, Fylde drawing level midway through the second half before the injury. And obviously, we extend our best wishes to Mason Bloomfield. And then JJ Hooper again.
It was Jack Collin, wasn't it? 26 minutes.
Well, that's the controversial one, Jeff.
Of course, yeah.
Because Jack took the shot, and I gave it to Jack on the PA because that was the consensus of people in the stand that I asked.
I think they've taken your word for it, mate.
And you know what? It's being said now, it's JJ's goal. Apparently, it came off JJ, and I think looking at the highlights, Ronan, maybe you can help with this.
I think it did.
Come off JJ.
It's JJ's goal. So football web pages need to update that. And then JJ with the winner. Obviously, Fylde made all three subs before the injury, so they were with 10 men. But let's make no bones about it. This is a strong Fylde side that were in the playoff places and that we lost to in the first game of the season. So it was a fantastic result. We've never beaten Fylde before that. It's our first victory over them.
Is it really?
It is, yeah. Yeah.
Bloody
hell. Yeah. And then we moved on. We moved on to Wrexham, didn't we? And what a night that was once again. We were under no illusions.
I love it under the lights. I don't know what it is. Whenever we're playing the floodlights,
something about it, isn't it?
Flashback to Leighton Orient and that 5-1 win and 6-1.
Yeah, 6-1. And Wrexham was another one. We were under no illusions about how tough the challenge would be. Wrexham are a very, very strong side.
Three games in a week, three games in 10 days. You sit there over 1,000 down for the Wrexham game, on a Tuesday night.
Fantastic. And, there is a lot of work, Jeff, isn't there, that goes on behind the scenes to put that into place and to get people to come down. And it's rewarding, isn't it, when we see people come through
our average league crowd of the FA Cup is over last season already. We've still got half season to go. We've got some very
big games coming up at home.
It's fantastic.
Absolutely. And a big thank you, obviously, to everyone who comes down to support us here.
But again, it shows you the football, the seasons, and how everything gets broken down in something. Mm. We were before Christmas looking at where we were, and I think, what's our lowest point of the season?
I think
18th,
we were 18th,
19th.
Yeah, yeah.
And looking where we are now, and you're going, what can you do to be 10th, to be 9th, to be 8th, to be 7th? It's absolutely fantastic.
As things stand, and I must add, this is before the Dover game, hopefully it remains the same.
As it stands,
we are top of the form table in the National League, and that is a huge achievement based on, obviously, the form that wasn't so good.
We're going to touch on the Dover game later. Obviously, as you refer to, AFC Fylde, done and dusted, fantastic victory. We then played host to Wrexham.
We did, yes. And obviously, the two goals in the first half, Mark Anthony with his first, he scored in the Kent Cup, didn't he? But his first league goal for Bromley, which was absolutely fantastic for him to finally score. And he's been a threat for so many weeks.
But that second goal.
Oh, Porter. And the nutmeg from Mekki. Unbelievable.
Mekki on the halfway line.
Yeah.
Nutmeg. Turn of pace. down that line to then cross it in like it did, and for George Porter to take it first time,
into the bottom corner. He sort of caressed it, didn't he?
The goal looks so easy, yet
but it's not.
The technical ability of both those players in that phase of play was extraordinary.
And let's shout out Adam Meckie as well, obviously a player that got injured quite badly in pre-season away at Glee.
We missed him, no doubt about it.
You know, let's be honest, he struggled to find the form that he showed last season, but as he's got more games under his belt, he has become one of the first names on the team sheet. He's been absolutely phenomenal in recent weeks, and let's hope tomorrow that he can carry on, obviously being an ex-Dover player as well. Hopefully he can come back to haunt his former side, but the cross for that and the finish, George just sort of caressed it into the bottom corner. The keeper didn't even move.
Talking about George, you managed to catch up with him after the Wrexham game?
Indeed, yes, I did. George, we've seen a massive upturn in form recently. 6 wins from 7. Everyone seems really confident at the minute. We're playing some really nice football.
Yeah, it's been brilliant. Good buzz around the place. I think the last five games has really turned our spirits. It's good. The boys are playing really well, and we're playing with a purpose. And it was also good to get a few wins at home as well, back-to-back wins at home against some very strong teams.
And we're talking about the calibre of those sides that we're playing. Sutton, obviously, on the cusp of the playoffs, AFC Fylde and Wrexham, really strong sides that we've just put to the sword.
Yeah, I mean, the three teams that we've played, they're like playoff contenders. They have been for a few years now, the sort of teams that they are. Fylde, Wrexham, they'll be challenging for the title this season. So it was really good performances from us. I thought we dominated in spells of both games, well, in all three games really, and we really showed what we're about this season, and long may it continue.
And a great goal for yourself on Tuesday as well to make it 2-0 just before half time. Great cross as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, good cross. I think Meckie done really well actually. Jack with a good clearance, Meckie done a bit of magic, and JJ sort of left it for me, and I just thought get the ball on target, because obviously I missed a few chances against Fylde the week before, so I just thought get my head over it, and thankfully it went in the bottom corner, mate. Yeah.
And obviously back in training today, how's everyone doing? Must be buzzing.
Yeah, it was good feel around the club. Like it's just good, everyone's training well, we all trained today, a few of us went in the gym, but it's a good buzz around the place now. You can feel it, like especially after a few wins at home as well, all the lads are just really happy. Yeah.
And obviously no game tomorrow, but we do play in the Kent Senior Cup on Tuesday, and then away to Dover, another really informed side, on Saturday.
Yeah, no game this weekend, obviously for reasons in the FA Trophy, which is a shame, but we'll take this as a break, I suppose. And as you said, we've got the Kent Cup game on Tuesday, which is, I think the gaffer wants to go for that as well, and I think the boys do as well. You know, we want to keep this run going and win every game possible, and then on to Dover, which is a massive game for us to start off another run, obviously after this weekend's break.
George, thank you, and best luck for the game.
Cheers, Matt.
Big thanks to George there for his time. Obviously, as he mentioned, a free weekend for the players. However, club's still busy that weekend. It was the return of our Saturday morning soccer school.
Yeah, Jeff, not only the return, but the launch of our brand new girls' soccer school. Both of which were a massive success. Let's start with the soccer school. Fantastic numbers.
For the first time back in January, yeah. It was pretty cold.
It was freezing.
If you're going to draw a graph of attendances, it tends to drop.
Yeah, this one spiked. It was huge. We had nearly 90 kids in the first session, which is for 4 to 6 year olds, and we got some brilliant feedback. Some of you will have seen the tweets from parents and
so the numbers
feedback.
In total was 200.
We were just under 200. Yeah, a few people under 200, including our brand new girls soccer school, which is obviously we do the first session for free. So if you've got a daughter over the age of 10 who's interested in football, do bring her down. It's on the stadium pitch. We've got Bromley Football Club qualified coaches that run the sessions, and there's opportunities to progress into the youth teams. And it was, I think we had just under 25 girls turn up for the first session.
I know you've done your best there to try and explain it, but I think Craig Black, who runs the Saturday morning soccer school, yep, and is the head coach, I think you obviously managed to catch up with him. He's done his best to explain it, and I think it's worth a listen.
Craig Black, you are head of under nines here at Bromley Football Club in the youth, and you're also the head coach for Saturday morning soccer school. Now, I know I've been working alongside you very closely in recent months, but can you tell everyone what you do?
Yeah, so Saturday mornings we're in the soccer school at Bromley Football Club. We started it off with in-house coaches at the start of this season. Everybody that coaches is FA level 1. one all the way up to UEFA B coaches. It's all run by Bromley people that are involved in the club and running to make sure that Bromley Football Club has a pathway all the way from under sixes all the way up to the first team. That's the long-term aim. We run it every Saturday. The aim is getting boys and girls into football, improving the technique, meeting new friends, and also, surprisingly nowadays, get a lot more exercise rather than sat on computers. So we run it every Saturday from 9 o'clock till 12. It's on every week apart from school holidays, and everyone's welcome. As I've mentioned, it's run by Bromley coaches. From our 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock session, we do have a girls-specific part of the soccer school. So that's just started up in the last this last week. So the idea of that, obviously, is to get the girls playing together, to build some confidence, meet new friends, and then give them a pathway up through into the women's football teams. So it's, like I say, it's structured. It's run by FA-qualified coaches. The numbers are growing every single week. You can either pay on the day or you can pay through the website, which is preferred because it's easier. You bring your booking down, and then if there's a game at home that day, the kids can get the free entry to the game, and the parents or guardians will get discount entry. And that's about it. We look forward to seeing new faces. They'll really enjoy it.
And as you've been saying, Craig, there, we've started our brand new girls Saturday morning soccer school. We've offered the first session for free. It's the first one today, and we've got a great turnout, haven't we?
Yeah, I can't believe it. I'm really surprised. And you know, the weather's quite cold, so sometimes that deters people, but the facilities that we got are fantastic. Obviously the first team pitch is UEFA standard, and the kids that are here look like they're having a great time. You know, you might hear them in the background, they're all running around looking around. It looks like we've got over 25 kids for the first session. That's only going to get more.
Exactly. And for the other sessions as well, what ages do we run for, and what times are they at the moment?
Yeah, so we run from 9 to 12 every Saturday. So we start off with kids about 4 or 5 years old, and then we go all the way up to 10, 12 or 13. So we kind of run from like 5, 6, 7, 9 to 10, 8, 9 and 10, 9 to 10 o'clock, 10 to 11 o'clock, and then 11 o'clock it's the kids over kind of 10 years old. And really, some of it depends on, sometimes they'll come with friends, colleagues, etc., and school friends. So yeah.
And like you've been saying, it is Bromley youth coaches that run the session. So there's, as well for the girls we were mentioning, there's pathways for the boys to go through to the youth teams as well, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. In the long run, what we'd like to be able to say is that we've brought a kid in at under six and he's gone all the way through the academy into the first team. That would be the ideal scenario. So we do provide the pathway in to the Sunday teams, into the youth teams, and also into the JPL teams, as well as in the longer run into the academies in the first team as well. So that is the intention. It is run by Bromley coaches, and it is for the intention of getting them all the way through to Bromley. So hopefully one day we can be self-sufficient by bringing our own kids all the way through.
Craig, thank you for your hard work, and thanks for joining us today.
No
Craig
problem
there.
Thanks
obviously
very much.
Volunteer coaches, etc., are involved in helping that launch with such success is absolutely fantastic, and obviously it's great that Craig is leading that and doing such a great job. You did interview him in a wind tunnel by the sounds of it, but
yeah, it did appear that way. It was on the middle of the pitch, which probably looking back wasn't the best place, and yeah, it was a chilly day in chilly conditions, and to get those numbers was a massive achievement for everyone.
No, fantastic first launch. And like you say, Matt, all the details on the website, www.bromleyfc.co.uk. I believe if it's your first session, it's free of charge.
It is.
So fantastic, absolute great opportunity, and a big thank you to Max Properties, who I understand who are sponsoring the Girls Soccer School, and also to the National League Trust, who also fund our community scheme. Moving on, obviously Tuesday night was the Kent Reliance Senior Cup quarter final. Obviously
magic,
everybody absolutely buzzing for this one.
Yeah, it's let's be honest, it's all about the Kent Senior Cup, and it was a really good crowd as well, wasn't it?
To be fair, in all seriousness, we all joke about the Senior Cup, etc. It's not considered a first team competition by the leagues, etc., because we're in the National League. However, as I'm sure you're going to allude to further on, I'm sure Neil does in his interview, a fantastic opportunity for those players who aren't getting the game time, for our under-23s, for the academy, and like you say, Matt, just under 400 here on the Tuesday night.
And it was fantastic, wasn't it? And the game itself was a good advert for football in that competition. Obviously, Charlton going 1-0 up early in the second half. The first half was sort of a a two-in and throw-in, not that many clear chances, a couple for each side. Second half, they went ahead early on. And then the most bizarre 5 minutes of football I think I've seen, a JJ Hooper hat-trick, 3 in 5 minutes in the second half to put
sure
a 3-1
mind.
Up. No, not at all. That makes it 8 and 8, like I was saying to you earlier, Jeff, for him, which is a great tally. And it was a really, really good game, actually. And the turnaround to see, yet again, Bromley coming from 1-0 down to win a game was fantastic. And, you know, like you say, a shout out to those players that haven't had much game time recently. Roger Johnson, Jake Goodman both put a shift in. We had an academy boy, Reefy, at left back, and other players that haven't really played much. And a special shout out as well to Cole De Silva, who has been really unlucky with injuries. Came on for the second half, and his first move, I think, was a silky touch and an assist for the equaliser, and he played very well.
I think, as you referred to, though, I think the professionalism shown by all those involved was of an incredible standard. And I think, I mean, that's something Neil Smith made a point of in his interview after the game.
Neil, you join us after the 3-1 Kent Senior Cup victory over Charlton Athletic. Being 1-0 down, it was a great response, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, it was brilliant, and it was great, you know, to have some of the players that have been on the fringe and been knocking on the door, asking to get, you know, into the team and into the squad, and they had their opportunity. And I think, you know, it was, to be fair to Hoops, it was going to take all the headlines, but I thought, you know, I thought everyone out there today, and especially the second half, you know, did their bit to get that result today.
And it was against a good young Charlton side, wasn't it? They were a tough challenge for us today.
Yeah, they were, especially first half. They were, you know, they got comfortable and they, you know, were popping it around and kept our shape well. But, you know, we had a young couple of players playing in Reefy, and then obviously Billy Crass coming on as well, Aidan Ember getting a game, so it was good for them. But I think fair play to our experienced players, the Roger Johnsons, you know, the Alan Dunns, Jake Goodmans, just guiding those young kids around, and that's what I took that from that game. It was a good team performance, and the senior players really took hold of it.
And you mentioned JJ there, he's going to take the plaudits. 3 goals in 5 minutes, though, he's been a real great addition to the side, hasn't he?
He's been amazing. He was one of them at half time I wanted to take him off, just didn't want him to, you know, burn himself out, and he went, no, I just want to score goals, and he proved himself right. I thought the second goal was unbelievable, you know, the power on it as well, and then obviously to step up and take the penalty. But he's shown a fantastic attitude since he's walked in, you know, 6 goals I think he's got now, and long may it continue.
And Cole De Silva as well, with a fantastic assist for that first goal. Great touch to take the ball down, and a brilliant pass, and the same for Frankie Raymond for the third goal.
Yeah, no, look, Cole De Silva's been frustrated with himself. I've been frustrated for him as well, because you know, we know what his ability is. I've just not been out to see it yet on a regular occasion. He's out to go through a difficult time. Hopefully he's coming out the other side, and I thought today you saw little glimpses of what he can do. But he's got to work hard to get back into this side at the moment.
And full focus now on the visit to Dover Athletic on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly, that was always the focus. Dover, you know, we didn't want to go into a game of that magnitude and a team like they're, you know, they're one of the form teams at the moment, without having some sort of minutes. So, you know, I managed to rest a few, but I've also got some minutes behind others. So, you know, hopefully I'll have a full selection to choose from for Saturday, and, you know, that's the difficulty that I want at the moment. I want that competition.
Well, Neil, the semi-final awaits. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Big thanks to Neil, as always, there to give his thoughts after the game. Like you say, Matt, to go 1-0 down and then pick it back up, and what a crazy 5 minutes. But also, a shout out to the academy graduates under 23s that were involved in the evening.
Yeah, there were. I think there was four in total, or five maybe. No, four. It was four. So we had obviously Aidan, an academy graduate, and Reefy Kalala in the starting lineup, and Claudio Krasnicki on the bench, and Harry Thomas as well, who's a first year. So four academy players/graduates involved.
Fantastic.
Which is great to see, Neil, obviously having faith in that system and bringing them through.
Obviously on that front, I think we wanted to catch that academy angle and the fact that they were involved. I think you managed to catch an interview with Reefy. Obviously, personally, to as a youngster, to be able to be asked for an interview, whether it's video, audio, or whatever, it's probably a new experience. First time I've ever been asked for it. Obviously, you managed to catch up with Reefy. I think he came across quite well.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I sent an academy player, Kerry, into the dressing room to see if he'd do the interview, because I thought it'd be something different for us to get. And he came straight out saying that Reefy was up for it and doing it. And as we walked out onto the pitch to do it, he did say it was his first ever interview and he was a bit nervous, but he came across pretty well. And here's what he had to say.
Reefy, another 90 minutes under your belt with the first team. How do you feel after that particularly great victory over Charlton tonight?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. We managed the game really well. and managed to see out the game. Got a lot of chances and we finished them.
And obviously being 1-0 down, it does take character to come back against a good side as well.
Yeah, we just got to believe, keep working hard and don't drop our heads.
And a great hat-trick for JJ Hooper, 3 and 5 minutes. It was a bit of a turnaround, wasn't it?
Yeah, it took a lot of time, but we managed to get 3 goals and get a win, which is really important.
And obviously you're finding your way into the first team at the minute, obviously playing a lot with the under-23s as well. How did you find it tonight?
Found it challenging, but managed to work all the way. 90 minutes, really good.
And how are you finding your development as a player, obviously coming through the academy now and like I said, spending a lot of time with the under-23s?
I find it really good. I'm learning a lot from the first team. They're guiding me and showing me what to do, and hopefully I can develop more into a good player.
And obviously you did play the last Kent Cup match as well. For those fans who haven't been down, how would you describe yourself as a player?
I describe myself as an aggressive player, a player who gets tight, loves to go forward, create a lot of chances and good at defending.
Rafi, thanks for joining us and congratulations.
Thank you.
Big thanks to Rafi there for giving up his time, Matt. Always nice to hear from Academy scholar or Academy graduate even.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It was something different, like I was saying earlier.
Part of our under-23s now?
Yes, he is. He played the full 90 minutes, actually, as well, and did so in the previous round against Faversham. So definitely a player who's coming through the ranks there.
Fantastic. Moving away from the men's senior section, obviously the community scheme, Matt, has gone from strength to strength. National League trust support, $25,000 funding for that, which has been fantastic. One of those schemes is obviously the Bromley Bells. We've heard a bit about them before. I'm not going to say too much because I think the next bit of content is pretty self-explanatory.
Andrea, it's first session back for the Bromley Bells tonight, and they've turned out in force, haven't they?
I know. We've got some new starters. I've just done a little count. It's about 25 women, of which about, I think, 6 or 7 have just come for their first time. So it's a really, really good turnout on this cold night tonight.
And we've just been standing here talking, and two people have literally just come up and said they've seen an advert. Can they join in? How good is that?
Oh, it's just, it's brilliant. It's, you know, we need more women to know about it, and, you know, Bromley have been brilliant with advertising it and helping them retweeting and things like that. So really, really good.
And obviously very, very cold night, as we've been saying, but it looks like they're straight into it with the match now.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, I think a lot of us in January, we want to come back and get a little bit fit. So we've all had a couple of weeks off. We had a tournament on New Year's Day, which was a, you know, really good turnout, and we all played really, really well. So definitely new year, new start, so it's just ideal to play this football to get fit.
And obviously we're very familiar with the work that you do for the Bromley Bells, but what is it for people who might not have heard of it before? Can you describe what it's all about?
So Bromley Bells, we are a women's recreational football club, which means that if you're aged over 30, you can come and join us on a Wednesday night training at 3G pitch between 9 and 10. We've got a wide range of people. Some people never played football before, some people played football previously. Just as you heard, those two ladies turn up today said they've never played football before and they've come to give it a try. So we're open to all abilities.
It's fantastic. And on a personal note, tonight we've presented you with the Vanarama National League Volunteer of the Month Award for December. How was that?
Oh, that's brilliant. It's so great to be recognised, and I've been really, really fortunate. I'm absolutely chuffed. It's brilliant, and thanks to Bromley for nominating me in the first place.
Absolute pleasure. Congratulations. One more thing. Obviously, the scheme is now supported by the National League Trust, which is a very, very big step forward for the club and the Bromley Bells as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's great to get that recognition for the trust to help support the group. And yeah, so it's really, really brilliant that we've got that that sort of big name behind us and helping us, and, you know, being able to provide us with the kind of skills and training and all the rest of it behind it. Yeah.
Well, Andrea, we'll let you go and join in with the match now. I think the white team are losing quite heavily at the moment, so we'll wait to see which side you take.
Yeah, I think I might have to take a white.
Good luck and thank you.
Thank you very much.
Brilliant to hear from Andrea there, and fantastic to see she's got the recognition she deserves for the fantastic work she's done. Matt, I think you managed to catch up with some participants from the Bromley Bells just to see how the project has affected them.
Hannah and Sue, you've been part of the Bromley Bells now for a while. Sue, we'll start with you. Just how has it developed in your time here?
So I was here from the beginning. There was between 15 and 17 of us that turned up. Majority had never hit a ball before. So from the, 6 months now, we've really come on. Same lot are still here and new ones. So I really enjoy it.
And there seems to be good numbers turning up week in, week out, despite the cold weather now particularly.
Definitely. And we've got three or four new ones that turned up today. There's been a few drop out, but we've kept our numbers up. So really pleased, really enjoy it.
And Hannah, you've had a tournament recently, New Year's Day in fact. How did that go?
It was good. We were down in Larkfield, down in Kent, and there were six teams. I think we scored a goal, which was good in the end, but we conceded a number. But we did get a point, but it was really good. There was nine of us, seven aside, which was great, so everyone participated.
And what would you say to someone maybe who's seen what Bromley Bells is about and sort of is unsure maybe about coming along?
I think what's really good is the different abilities of everyone and the different walks of life. So we've got people from 30 up to about 60. Everyone's just got on with it, got on well, had a good Christmas dinner. So when you can socialise well together, you get better on the pitch as well. So, and as Sue said tonight, we've got about six or seven people that have not been before. So that's really good on a very cold January night.
And it seems like there's such a great atmosphere about. It's just everyone's about having fun and getting fit as well and enjoying their football.
Yeah, I think that bit about the lost generation isn't lost on a lot of us. So most of us are in our 40s, if not 50s. So it's the first time we've been able to put a shirt on and actually play amongst your own, which is really good, because at school, once you got to 11, you were never allowed to play. So I think that's what most people are enjoying, is just being able to put a shirt on.
Brilliant. And Sue, obviously, Andrea has been recognised for her efforts tonight with the Vanarama National League Volunteer of the Month Award. How great has she been for the Bromley Bells?
Brilliant. I mean, she started it all off with just a little message on Facebook. Is anyone interested? A couple of weeks later, she had, between 17 and 20 turn up. So, yeah, I'm so pleased for her because she's done so much for us.
Well, Sue, Hannah, we'll let you get back to it. You're on opposing teams now at the minute. Best of luck to both of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Cheers.
You. Michelle, how long have you been part of the Bromley Bells for?
I joined Bromley Bells late last spring, so 6 months of months.
And how's it been for you? What impact has it made on your life?
After having been a big part of women's football for maybe 20 years, I've been out of the game 15 years, so it's really nice to be able to come back and play football with a variety of people, some of which I've played with before, others haven't played football before, but it's great fun.
And it seems like, I said to the other two ladies a moment ago, there's such a great atmosphere around it. It doesn't matter whether you played or you haven't, everyone's welcome, aren't they?
It's completely dynamic, and what's lovely is it's all intertwined. So you come here, you make silly mistakes, and then you do something amazing, and it really doesn't matter because we're working together to become a better unit.
And obviously the facilities here at Bromley Football Club are second to none locally. It must be fantastic to use them week in, week out.
Well, we're extremely fortunate. As I said earlier, I've played for a long time, played on some of the best pitches across the country, but none of the training facilities I experienced during that time were of this calibre.
And obviously Andrea started off the scheme, and it's now, thanks to the hard work of her and the club, been recognised by the National League Trust, who will now be supporting the scheme. What does that mean to you as a player?
Well, I think as a player and as part of something that Andrea has created, it makes us really proud of the work that not only she's done but that we've created together, and that ongoing teamwork with the backing of such a significant unit means that we can continue to strive to become a better team.
Well, Michelle, thanks for joining us, and we'll let you get back to the match now. Good luck.
Thanks. I can breathe now.
Brilliant. Big thank you to everybody there, including Michelle, who I'm sure is breathing now absolutely fine. Honestly, just another example of the fact that the football club is more than just the first team and what happens on a Saturday and everything like that. I remember rewinding 6, 7, 8 years ago, the youth section grew to the numbers it did now, and you'd walk down Bromley High Street on a Saturday and you'd see a kid walking down High Street in a Bromley shirt, Bromley kit. When I first came, 2004, 2005, you were lucky if you get a kid's replica shirt, let alone the fact that there were going to be potentially up to 300 kids walking around the local borough wearing a Bromley shirt with pride. It's absolutely fantastic. And sometimes with everything that goes on, everything gets forgotten and maybe it's not appreciated. But Bromley Bells is another example of the power of football, within the local community.
Absolutely. And it's a really unique scheme that we've got going here, and a massive credit, as the ladies were saying, to Andrea, who's
fantastic.
Really
Amazing.
Than that.
Congratulations on the award.
Yeah, absolutely. Very well deserved, I think, and great to get it out there and get the press out there as well for the club and for Andrea and the scheme itself.
And obviously back on the football front now, some player news.
Yes.
Late this week.
Well, literally earlier today, Aidan Enver has joined Burgess Hill Town on a month's loan. Obviously, Aidan had played for us in the Kent Cup against Charlton on Tuesday. So best of luck to him. It's a short-term loan. I'm sure he'll get some game time there and come back a better player.
No, fantastic. Obviously, talking on the injury front, I think I saw Jordan Higgs training today. I think I saw a few players back out there. So yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how that develops in the next few weeks.
Definitely. Neil's obviously had a very big selection headache over recent weeks because of how well the new signings have been doing and just how well we've been playing. So I think it's what he'd describe as a good headache. So long may that continue.
Fantastic. Turning back to the academy briefly, we've got some fantastic news.
Absolutely, we do. And we've got Reece McClellan, who's an under-16 player in our youth academy, has been called up to the England Deaf Men's Squad, which is an absolutely phenomenal achievement for someone at his age to be called up to the men's squad. And he really is a very good player. He did some work experience here at the club. He's part of the youth academy, as I've been saying. And actually, I think there's a video on Twitter somewhere of him a few years back playing at... when the academy went out to Real Madrid, he joined them. And some absolutely amazing skills that he's got, and he's definitely got a bright future in the game.
No, brilliant. Massive congratulations there to Reece. Obviously, I'm sure we're going to keep up to date and put that all on the website so everyone is fully aware. So, tomorrow, Dover Athletic, or whenever you're listening to this, Saturday, Dover Athletic away. People love chucking a Kent derby around and all of that stuff. Nevertheless, not always a nice place to go. However, our recent run of form down there hasn't been too bad.
No, obviously, last season we played there twice, once in the league, which was the second game of the season, and we won 2-0. I think Josh Reece and Louis Dennis got the goals, and it was our first away win of the season in just the second game of the season. And then we played there in the FA Cup, Roger Johnson's debut. He played out a 0-0 draw, and then we obviously brought them back here and beat them 3-0. So
yes,
we met them earlier this season here. Once again, second game of the season, but this time here, and got a 2-2 draw thanks to a late penalty from Frankie Sutherland and an early Dan Johnson goal. But they've hit massive good form recently, as we were talking about. Obviously, new manager.
As we have.
And
talk about
Eddie
the managers.
Hesentaler, yeah.
Talk about... No, we chucked another Kent club in there, Gillingham. So, to get this right, we've got Neil Smith, ex-Gills. We've got Jim Stannard, ex-Gills.
Yes, he is, yeah.
And then we're going up against Andy Hesentaler,
ex-Gills.
And
Nicky Southall.
Nicky Southall, ex-Gills.
Yes, they are.
Wow.
And a side that's really hit form
so
since
Kent
those
derby
two have come
in. Actually a fair
it
title.
Is, yeah. It's a Gills thing, I guess. but they have really, really changed their fortune since those two came in. Obviously, they were pretty much dead and buried down the bottom of the league. I think one win all season until Hesentaler came in, and they are now fourth in the form table. But of course, we are first. So let's hope that continues after the weekend.
Fantastic. And that was Chris Kinnear.
Yes, who was a very, very experienced manager.
They always think of the playoffs out of nowhere. You'd be like,
yeah,
well,
and Chris Kinnear, what a great manager he was. It just didn't work this season for some reason, and the harsh nature of football management.
One of those things. As ever, we'll have all the updates on the day. We're not sure if we're able to do commentary yet. We've got Twitter updates over on the website, www.bromleyfc.co.uk. All the admission prices and travel details are also on there. Matt, big thank you.
Thank you, pleasure.
Big thank you to everybody who's tuned in and downloaded this episode. As ever, it's greatly appreciated. Apologies for the longer gap than usual. However, we're back into routine, and we'll be back again next Thursday. Don't forget, Dover tomorrow. We'll have all the updates on the website. And then next Saturday, we're at home to Eastleigh. We'll have all the details on that on next week's episode. A big thanks once again for tuning in and downloading, and we'll be back again next week.
Thank you.
And that's the town where I come from.